Hey everyone, welcome. Welcome to another Ludicrous Feed Live. Wednesday, 15th of May, 2024. How exciting. Lots to talk about. Seriously, there is like a lot in our show notes. So looking forward to chatting with you all tonight. Let's welcome our co-host as always. Hello, Riz. How are you?
Hey, Tom. Going well. I mean, just the extent of it, I see Jason's just asked, how's Bonza? I said they're just getting there a bit slowly, but we're coming in the fast lane with the amount of stories that we've got coming up tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot to cover, absolutely, Riz. Let's say hello to our sponsors as always. We have Carloop. Of course, thank you, Riz, from Carloop, data to empower Australia's EV revolution. And of course, Cobra Car Insurance. They've finally got their EV-specific product for Tesla. So make sure you check out my video and also a link in the video description below, as always. All right, let's say hello to our regulars as always. We've got 104 viewers already, 2 minutes in. This is insane. We're getting really good numbers recently. So yeah, thanks everyone for your support. We've got Tazzy EV. He's going to be a bit late tonight. That's all right. Hang in there, Tazzy. We'll see you shortly. Hey, Gaffer, nice to see you. Hello, John. Hello, Oz Screamer. Hello, Aaron. Hello, Lewis. Hello there. Hello, Mark B. Hello, John. Hello, Jason. Nice to see you. Hello, Hal. Hello, Paul. Hello, Steve. Hello, Paul. Yes, no rain as well in Sydney. That's great. Finally. Hello, Scotty. Jason asks, how is Bonza? Yeah, well, you know, Riz is here, so clearly, you know, got off the ground somewhere and he's back in Melbourne.
That's it.
Good to know. Hey, Andrew. Hello, Shalendra. Hello, SWS. Hello, Kevin from Florida. Hello. Hello, Rob S. Hello there. Hi, Stan, Kangaroo Island TV. Hello, Peter. Oh, good evening from Sutherland Hospital. You're not unwell, hopefully. No, I think Peter's doing Uber again, hopefully. So nice to see you there. Hello, Dieter. No, this is not Minilog. No, this is our Ludicrous Feed live show. And hello, JD Media and Music. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Oh, hello, Scott McGregor. Hello there. Nice to see you. And hello, Aaron. Hello, Nick. Thanks for the $2 super chat. Saw Cybertruck in Chatswood last week. Didn't disappoint. Excellent. I think it might be either in Miranda or Parramatta as part of its roadshow around Australia, I think. If someone can verify that for me, that would be good. Hello, Terry as well. Nice to see you all on the show. Now, Riz, before we kick off tonight, I just wanted to talk about this product here. I've got a giveaway tonight. That is the Commander. The Commander from Enhance Auto. They're the guys who do the sexy buttons. So that is what we've got to give away tonight. So if you would like to win one of these products, you don't necessarily need to have these buttons. You can actually access a lot of the commands from the Enhance Auto app. So if you would like to win this product worth $200, leave a comment, not a live chat. You can leave a live chat as well, but a comment in the video afterward or even now, and tell me and Riz which function you wished the Tesla Model 3, Model Y had that is currently missing at the moment in your Tesla. So something that you wish it had that was possibly taken away or even you wish it had just in general, leave it in the comment section. Riz and I will decide on the winner next week after we read through all the comments. So once again, sexy buttons, the Commander. You can hook these up, obviously, to all the buttons too, or you can just use it by itself. So that's worth $200. Leave a comment below with your responses. Cool. Okay. Nice. Got a question from Scotty. Yes, it does come with harnesses and a pry tool as well. So thank you for that question. Alrighty. So Riz, lots to chat about. Let's get on with it tonight. Hopefully we can squeeze this all in 1 hour. So much to talk about indeed. All right, let's have a look at this one here, Riz. This is your chart. Riz's charts is back. So now we know Riz is super smart. I sometimes call him the Oracle. He seems to know everything about EVs, but now he's starting to predict the future. So this is your prediction for EV uptake up to 2030.
It is. So 4 million cars, over 4 million cars by 2030 is where things are going. Anyone that's interested in getting a high resolution version of that chart, just reach out to Tom or myself and we will shoot that through. But yeah, over 4 million cars by 2030 is what's going to happen with our battery electric vehicle market. These do not include your plug-in hybrids. There's a couple launching and have launched this week, but not pure battery electric vehicles only. So, yeah, things are going to get pretty serious in the next couple of years. And we're sort of in the beginning of it all. It might seem like there's a lot happening, but this is just the beginning.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. So here we are in 2024. So we are thinking there will be a sharp uptake in the next 6 years up to the end of this decade. So that's fantastic. 4.5 mil, what's that? What's that in percentages, Riz? 30%, 40%?
Yeah, so the 4.5 mil, you're sort of looking at probably 25 to 30% of the total number of vehicles on our roads. And once people start to see the benefits of electric cars, then, you know, it's that's what they want. I mean, you have to look at pre and post iPhone, right? Like only a couple of years in, that's all what people wanted. Nobody wanted a Nokia phone that you could flip open with, you know, key digits and everything else. So although they still sell some, every now and then you will get a product that is trying to go back and make a dumb phone, but everyone wants smartphones. So that's what EVs are.
I don't think I've ever thrown away a phone that I've ever bought since, I don't know, when late high school when I had a phone. So it's sitting somewhere in my parents' house or somewhere in my house somewhere. It's like I could probably start a museum with all the phones I have. Speaking of, I'm not going to keep every car I have, so don't worry, that's not going to continue. but it's funny how I just put this comment up here from Jason, hockey stick graph. That's so true. If you sort of condense this image down to like from 2014 when the first Tesla entered in the country to now, it looks like a hockey stick now, but it's funny how when you stretch it out, it's going to look even more like a hockey stick moving forward.
That's it. And, you know, there's some key sort of moments coming up, like 2026. Volvo said they're only going to be selling electric cars. There's a whole lot of electric car-only brands. It's sort of a good time, and we might touch on it later on in the show, but it's sort of a good time given the news coming out of the U.S. in terms of 100% tariffs on Chinese electric cars into that market. And Europe has got their own probe on as well. And guess where a lot of them are ending up? So it's only good news for consumers.
That's right. Me and Riz are happy to test these cars, by the way. But we'll touch on the Chinese vehicles and America's, well, US's a tariff in the show later on. So stick with us. Anthony's got a request. Hi, Riz, can you please send it to me? It's an important part of electric vehicle training. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Anthony's from sure, MTA. I'm sure you won't mind me saying that. So that'll be good.
Yeah. I've got your email address, Anthony. All good.
Awesome. All right. Let's see. SWS says he or she's got a drawer full of phones. Yeah, I think I do too somewhere. And Terry says, my kids get my phones and they go into the drawer. Everyone's got like this electronics drawer, right? I've got like, I don't know, what do you call them? Ethernet cables. I've got like power boards. I think every household's got one of these. Yeah. All right. Let's move on. We've got, another one of Riz's graphs. One sec. I think I need to share the screen again. Here we go. So there we go. So that's, EV sales 2024. Let's just condense this a bit more. There we go. Highest selling EV makes in Australia to date in 2024.
Yeah. So that's, you know, Tesla, BYD, MG, surprisingly BMW. There's a couple of interesting ones in there and, things are ramping up, and we're sort of, you know, that was taken at the end of April, so 4 months into it, a third of the year gone. It'll be interesting to see how, you know, BYD ramps up their deliveries. At the moment, they're still delivering the 2023 Atto 3s and 2024 BYD Seals. So, you know, we'll find out. MG, they've got a bit of work to do as well after lowering prices. And everyone else is doing the same. Hyundai, I saw, has a special on the Kona Electric at the moment. And Kia's got a refreshed EV6 coming out. And EV5 next month, I think. So lots of cool products to be coming out in the next couple of months. So we'll see that charge shift over a period of time.
Yeah, we should clarify too that Riz and I don't get any kickbacks or commissions for, you know, pushing any of these vehicles. We certainly don't. But I did see an email this week. I think Cooper is doing something. I think possibly the interior, premium interior pack is included with all Coopers now, Cooper Born. So if you're inclined that way towards a Cooper One, and they're quite nice looking vehicles, I got to say. I think an interior pack worth a couple of grand will be thrown in for you if you get one of those cars. Riz, I must say, like Tesla, BYD, no surprises. MG, again, top three, that's kind of what we expected. BMW, that is a big shock to me. I didn't think they would be up there in the top five. That's pretty good.
Yeah, they seem to be doing quite well with some of their cars. I think they're priced right in the sense that someone looking for a BMW is going to spend $80,000-$90,000+ on a car, and their electric range is sort of in that ballpark. So it's, you know, once people experience it, and if they seem to have stock at the moment, it's going pretty well for them.
And this is just 2024 numbers, right?
Yeah, just the first 4 months. Yeah,
okay, pretty impressive. Yeah, I've only sat in a couple of BMW EVs, but it'd be nice to actually have one for a week to test out. So if anyone from Beamer's watching, give us a shout out. You know where to contact us. Good point from Scott there. No Nissan. Funny, right? No Nissan Leafs in that number. Weird.
Yeah, it's this. I mean, there is some brands that we sort of. You'd like to think that there would be more sales for them. I'll actually double check that one. So that's missing from that chart for sure.
Okay, cool. We'll follow that up. Oscar Grimmer makes a good point too. Wonder if that's the com car fleet for BMW. That's a good point, actually. Yeah. Okay, and yeah, shout out to all iPace owners out there. Anyone still buying iPaces in 2024? No refreshes, right, on the horizon?
No, not that. Apparently, they've stopped production of the iPace, and they're doing some sort of retooling in the factory in UK. So who knows? Maybe there's something coming up. But from the looks of things, the XPeng G6 looks a little bit like the iPace. So that's supposed to be launching later this year. So yeah, maybe XPeng will have more success.
I've got some XPeng news coming up too, so stay tuned, everyone. Good question from Fivey. Hey, Tom, since you've reviewed many EVs, which one would you say is the best EV SUV overall? Yeah, look, Riz, I think it's going to be hard to get past the Tesla Model Y, right? For the price, I just did a very long review, so members on the channel might have seen me drop that tonight. It's going to go live tomorrow. I couldn't help myself. It's like an almost long, hour-long review, just explaining why the Tesla Model Y is the number one selling EV at the moment in Australia. So yeah, check that video out. I think it's still really, really good value, and that's still our go-to family SUV at the moment. All right, Riz, so this is now going to be right up your alley, actually. So let's put this up here. You know you want this car, Riz. I think you've already got one, actually. Let's have a look. This is might be yours. This is the the Rolls-Royce Spectre. Let's have a look. This is fully modded, I think, isn't it? Oh, except we've got an ad. All right, let's play the ad.
Just hours driving around back. Looking for parking.
Yeah. So for those who follow the channel, I promised a Rolls-Royce Spectre review next month.
Do you always have a $200 fine?
June, if so, stay tuned for that. Is
the perfect parking solution for you.
We'll deal with Riz's Rolls. Let's put it back on. Ad's finished. Let's have a look. Here we go. Wowzers.
That's what it is. So, you know, a good friend of the show, Elliot, said he's apparently going to be coming back to Australia soon, and he said, will we be picking him up in a Spectre? And I said, we've got him detailed and ready for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Look at this thing. Like, it's an absolute beast. $750,000 Australian, I think, before options, so...
And that body kit probably there is about $2 million on top of that, so it's just... Insane. But apparently it has over, I think, 200 kilos of just insulation on the car to make the cabin as noise-proof as possible. I mean, that's, yeah. Cool car, but just, you know, Tom, I think this is the video we need to show to our good friends at Rolls-Royce to get you to review one.
I'm coveting those gloves this person's wearing. I might need to get one of those if I'm going to review this vehicle. They may not let me touch it with my own flesh, but there it is. There's the Rolls-Royce Spectre. So coming soon to Ludicrous Feed as well. So stay tuned, everyone. SW says, we are going to need a bigger garage. Yes.
That's it.
And apologies, everyone. I had the ad audio on as well. So sorry, I had to listen to that free advertising from whoever it was. All right, let's move on. Another one of Riz's favorite cars. This is, of course, the Cybertruck. Here it is. Rappers love their Cybertrucks.
Celebrities of all sorts, you know, that's what it is. And this week, interestingly, there's been a few crashed ones that have come out, and there's also been news of over 140 of them being listed on used listing websites in the US. So they're getting around.
How many?
140 listed. Ooh. As used. Sort of, I don't know if Tesla's still chasing people off or trying to sell their Cybertrucks for a profit, but yeah, it seems to be getting around.
And yes, Jason has correctly pointed out Elon smoking GIF below that, oh, so geez. It's quite apt, actually. Yeah. More Cybertruck bling. Here we go. This is one in, what color do we call this? Oh, I almost thought that was a Rolls for a moment there. That's just the Cybertruck in some very glossy paint there, or wrap. Look at this thing. It's insane. Rappers and their Cybertrucks.
Bling blings.
Love it. And if you can't afford a Cybertruck, which I think is about 100,000 Aussie, something like that, you can always get one of these. This is on sale, or well, probably sold by now. This is the Cybertruck. I'm not sure how accurate this is. Let's have a look. There you go. It was asking $2,500 last week in the US. So it's a bit of a bargain, really. Nice. Ah, dear. Yes. Well, in all seriousness, the Cybertruck is in Sydney. It's making its way to Melbourne and probably Brisbane too. So go check them out. All right. Oh, yeah. Jason says that's Rose Gold. That's correct.
Mm.
Yep. Cool. All right. Well, is this anybody's Model 3, by the way? I saw this week on socials. I think Dashcam Australia picked this up.
Oh.
Let's watch that again. Autopilot, anyone? No?
I don't know.
Just distracted. Yep. Rule number one of a Tesla, blame autopilot. Doesn't go down well usually.
No.
That's an insane jump. So if that person is watching, I'm really sorry that's your car, but yeah, might need to pay more attention next time. Just staying with Tesla and damage. Look at this. Riz, I'm sure you've seen this week. This is the safety feature in the new Model 3s, which pop the hood when they kiss something, like a kangaroo, for example.
Yeah, it's... So the new models had that as a feature. I think, was it available in the previous generation cars? Not sure, but it's, yeah, good to see. It's supposed to be, I guess, protecting whatever hits it. So yeah, I think it's safety feature they've thought of quite well, and very rare to see it in that fashion.
Yeah, I think the issue with this person was that yes, it popped up because the car kissed a kangaroo, but the issue was popping it back down again. I think they weren't sure how to do it. And then this story here from Yahoo News, $500 apparently, same car I think, to push that back down again. So, I mean, look, it's costly, but hey, if it saves you and your occupants, I mean, you know, not a bad thing, that's I suppose. It. Yeah. And was that $500 from Tesla themselves, I wonder, or just a third party? I'm not sure. Yep. Okay. Well, we'll see if anyone else has had an issue like this with the new Model 3s. Let us know in the comments there. Yeah, so Lewis, that's right. So I saw a Facebook post where they were hinting at how this safety feature is expensive. Next day, they'll protest EVs are too quiet and hit people. Yeah. Jason, $500 to know where to push safely. Yeah. Candidate for the new Sydney Tesla body shop. Yeah. And Scotty says, needs new struts due to explosive device in them. I see. That's what's the $500. Mm. Okay. Yep. Rule avoidance. Probably we need that, don't we, in Australia. Speaking of Model 3 features, so this is a little short I made this week. This is the ultra-wideband technology in the new Model 3s, where you can stand behind the car, as I am doing now with my phone, and the boot should pop open by itself, which is a pretty nifty feature. So if you're shopping with two hands full with your phone, you can just get it to open. I guess what's concerning, Riz, is if you know, you don't want it to open inadvertently, just standing behind the car. So I'm not sure there's any way to avoid that apart from running away quickly like myself there. Still got it.
Someone's got to test it out.
That's right. Happy to run for you guys. Cool. And yeah, quickly, Teslas will soon park themselves when arriving at a destination. Ooh. Smarter summon and driverless auto park coming soon in a future update. Have you done much auto park or smart summon with your Tesla, Chris?
Haven't had a chance to do it myself, but apparently it's a feature that many have tried in the past, and hopefully the new one will be quite interesting to see people experiment and test with it. I like to drive the car, and you know, still lack a little bit of confidence in letting the car park itself just yet.
Yeah, me too. I must agree. I don't think I've done much auto parking with Tesla, let alone any other vehicle. I just find it way too slow. I'm happy just to do it myself. I'm just not sure. I've done it once just as a test, and I felt sorry for the people behind me. It just took way too long. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, safety first. It's got to be slow, right, to get it right. But, yeah, I haven't done it too much. And even the summon, I haven't used smart summon too much either, except for YouTube videos. Good point, Scotty, with the ultra-wideband boot opening. I heard don't do it whilst in car wash mode and washing it. Oh, that would be a disaster, right? If it opens, you got the jet hose out. thank you, Rachel. She loved the little backward dance steps. No worries. And Scotty says, my partner uses summon to reverse the car out of a space due to the car next to it to close. Mm. Yep, nice one. Scott says, boot opening, keep moving. Seriously, you have to be close. One step back, it doesn't do its thing. Nice. Mm. Thank you. Thank you. Billy says, the Tesla auto park is quick. Well, yeah, I don't know. I guess it's a relative thing, isn't it? How quick it is. Cool. All right. Now, thanks for joining us. 187 viewers already at the 23-minute mark. That's fantastic. Really appreciate you guys joining us. We have a giveaway tonight. This is the... I'll just put this up a bit bigger. So this is the Commander. This is the smart, I guess, what do you call it? The box you put in the CAN bus port in your Tesla. Worth $200. It usually comes with sexy buttons or knob, but you can actually use this by yourself with the phone app. So in the comment section tonight, leave a comment and tell me which feature you would like to see, or you would have loved to have seen in a Tesla, which you can actually use in this Commander box. For example, you can put regen braking back on, because currently you can't actually set regen braking to a lower level. So you can actually reduce it down to zero, even if you wanted to. So we've got one to give away tonight. Comes with the harnesses and a pry tool. So leave a comment what feature you'd like to see, and the best response will get the prize next week, which Riz and I will announce. All right, so Scott's saying valet parking in Riz's Rolls. Yeah, that's kind of a cool feature.
That's the only way.
Get someone else to do it for you. Scotty's, it's a V2 Commander, I think, Scotty. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it's V2. Only the good stuff on this channel. So Linda says, I think Billy is referring to the new Vision Auto Park. Okay, I've tried that too.
Ooh.
I have. All right. Yeah, nice feature. Soft close for the frunk. That would be nice, actually. Not full open and close as required. Chris is saying Commander Box ejection button. Mm. Into the glass roof. Nice. Check this out. So I saw this week. Thanks, Jason, for pointing this out to us. So I think this has been doing the rounds for a while, but it's coming back up for some reason. Tesla owners putting wet towels on supercharger handles to get a higher charge. Interesting. Seeing this, Riz?
Look, I know time is money. And maybe if you're a rapper and you want to be making the money, then you want it to be supercharged real quick. And that's why you got to have your wet towel over. I've never seen this before.
Yeah, check this out. So this person's like pouring water onto the charge handle, even going all out. I mean, I know they're IP66 rated probably, so you know it's fine. I've charged in the rain too, so no problem. I'll have to read the article to see how much faster you actually get with a wet towel or a moist towel. But that's pretty interesting. We're coming up to winter in Australia, so probably not too much of an opportunity to try this. But I don't know, if you're game enough to try it next summer, there's a little tip for you guys. Cool. All right. Thank you for that, Jason. Apparently, it's Carl's done it on his channel from Outer Spec. Oh. Thank you. And Jason says a rapper needs a towel wrapper. Nice one. The dad jokes are back. Nice one. And Scotty says there is a temp sensor chip in the plug. Ah, okay. There you go. That's probably why it works. Okay, so let's move on to serious matters now. So we've been talking a lot about Tesla charging team being laid off last week. So Chris Zeng, 80% of Tesla China supercharging team has been laid off, leaving only a few people for operation and maintenance. And we did ask the question last week, Riz, about whether there'll be still maintenance moving forward for Tesla superchargers. So I think those guys are remaining.
Yeah, I think they're around.
Yeah, a lot of speculation this week. I think even Tesla Australia themselves released a statement. I certainly got that email. They must have heard us talk about this last week. So this is an email from Tesla Australia to us. So I've heard concerns from our Tesla community about recent changes to the supercharger program and like to provide an update on the network in Australia. Yep, core to the mission. Yes, customer experience is key. Expansion of the network. So apparently the supercharger network will continue to be expanded. Projects currently in construction are continuing to be completed and put into operation. That's good news. And New South Wales Fast Charging Grant Program and Queensland Electric Vehicle Charging Infrastructure Scheme. Tesla will continue to move forward and participate in these programs. And service and support supercharger sites are being maintained and serviced. So that is good news. Thank you for that email, Tesla Australia, putting our fears to rest. That's good. Yeah, cool. Yes, that's right. Scotty Tucker reached out to Tesla Australia to send an email. Thank you, Tucker. Tesla Owners Club of Australia. That's good. Okay, cool. And Shalendra saying lots of new superchargers open in China, North America, and Europe as well. That's great. Yep. Because there was speculation too, wasn't there, Riz? So this is Gaffer's ex tagging us. Thanks, Gaffer. Yeah, but I think this is just speculation. BP looking to buy Tesla supercharger sites in the US. I'm not sure whether it's like actually going to happen or it's just they want to do it.
Yeah.
Hard to know. And Tesla themselves, actually, Tesla Charging put out a X. So since 2012, charging has been a pillar of Tesla's mission, providing dependable freedom to travel. Supercharging is the latest, largest network globally with the highest capital and operational efficiency. And we will continue to sustain and grow the network. So that's good. Yeah. And even the man himself, Elon Musk, just to reiterate, Tesla will spend well over $500 million expanding our supercharger network to create thousands of new chargers this year. These not just on new sites and expansions, not counting operation costs, which are much higher. So apparently he's rehiring again, Riz?
Apparently that's what's, you know, what the media is putting out there. First, they got plenty of headlines of, you know, Tesla supercharging staff being fired. Now they're getting more headlines saying he's hiring again. Could be anything. I think Tesla generally doesn't communicate very much in terms of what they're doing internally. But I think that the network's still there. It's still growing and expanding. And I think that's all that sort of speculation is just speculation now. So we'll continue to see sites. We asked our audience last week, right? If you see anything broken or whatever, let us know. And as far as I'm aware, Tom, I don't think we've heard anything from anyone.
No, I think someone might have mentioned Tamworth. I think somewhere, somewhere starting with a T, I think there were issues. But if anyone can give us an update of anything, let us know. Yeah, I haven't heard anything too much either. Yep, Scotty says a global company should redeploy skilled staff. Firing them seems rash. Yeah, I mean, from our point of view, just seems an unusual decision, I've got to say. So, yeah, I don't know. Look, no one really knows what's happening. All we can see is, yeah, Tesla's doing a bit of damage control, saying, yeah, we're all good. Everything's plugging along, no problem. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens in coming days or coming weeks, I guess. So in the last 24 hours, Tesla has posted a lot of new job openings for Giga Berlin on LinkedIn. So far, only 400 employees have been laid off and 300 contract workers have not received contract renewals. Tesla is already searching for new employees again. So there you go. It's happening. Let's take some comments from the audience. So, Shalendra says, PP said they will look at sites that Tesla decided not to go ahead with, not existing superchargers. Okay. Thank you. So Jason says, Tesla rehires started with Max DeZego, who was an executive under the previous head of supercharging, Rebecca Tinucci. Thank you. And Gaffer says, I heard they all got let go and then many of the positions were advertised and everyone who wanted back had to go through testing and rehiring. Mm-hmm. They may have got a lot of bloat in their old hirings.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I mean, I don't know about Australian employment laws there. When you make a position redundant, I suppose you can't rehire someone in that position here in Australia. So it must be different, obviously different laws overseas. All right. Well, that is Tesla news. A lot of it, of course. We'll keep our eyes on the Tesla recharging, supercharging situation. But let's move on a little bit to something we were discussing a lot about last week, which is the BYD situation. So. This is opening a whole can of worms, Riz. So we've got some new pro forma replies now. Here we go. Here's one from publicly made aware from made available from BYD customer team. So thank you for inquiry, etc. Currently, we are awaiting formal communication from our manufacturer in BYD China. They'll be writing a final statement to clarify all concerns. So for those of you who've just joined us this week, the main issue now with BYD is that all ATTO3s in Australia and all BYD seals made pre-March 2024 cannot charge at a V3, V4 Tesla supercharger. And this is causing some angst amongst those owners, of course. Anybody with a seal post-March 2024 can charge at these superchargers. And of course, all the owners in that previous category are starting to hopefully put some pressure on BYD to warrant a change, either to the hardware or, fingers crossed, it's a software update. To allow these to charge. So, yeah. We will keep our eye on these. And Scott McGregor is on the chat right now on the call, one of the audience members here tonight. So he's happy for me to share this with you all. So he's already made a submission to the ACCC. He says, I'm not waiting. I decided to at least kick off discussions with the ACCC now. So, yeah, that's one direction as an individual. What you can do is do that submission now to see where that ends up. And Chris as well. Christopher H is on the chat too. He's happy for me to share his email. Hey, Tom, looking forward to your show tonight. I'll be there. Happy for you to mention me by name, given the blurring of contact details. No problem. So he's just submitted a complaint to the Department of Fair Trading. So I formally requested either a repair to the onboard charger for my BYD seal or a replacement seal in its entirety. The defect is, as we mentioned, can't charge at V3 superchargers. I'm advised in accordance with the consumer guarantee of acceptable quality, the product should be free from defects and able to do what products of their kind normally do. So other cars like the EV6 can charge at a V3, V4 supercharger. The complaints have been raised with BYD with unsatisfactory responses. So Chris is encouraging other BYD owners in the same category to also raise a complaint. So, yeah, so we'll see again what happens with these individual complaints. There's Chris right now. He's in the chat. So the ACCC told me to go to the Department of Fair Trading. There you go.
Right.
Thanks for sharing that with me, everyone. That's great. And Jason is also, I think, a seal owner. I emailed them a few days ago about getting a 2401 since I'm still on 2310, but haven't heard back from customer service yet. Yeah. So, Riz, this is, a bit concerning, isn't it? I mean, BYD and communication at the moment is unfortunately a bit lacking.
Yeah, I'm, really hoping that things do change and there's more communication to owners, especially those with concerns. You know that... We're still at the early adopter stage when it comes to electric vehicles, particularly, trusting a new brand in the market that hasn't sold, tens of thousands of cars that, Toyota and others have sold and they've got processes. So it would be good that any communication would to those owners with those concerns, even if it's a generic email to say, hey, we know that this is a concern, we're working on it. Which is, I know some owners have received, which is great. But I think more broadly, there's a little bit of work to be done to let people know that, hey, we're talking hundreds of charging stalls. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, whatever it is, it's software, hardware. If people know about it, they can make alternative plans. At the moment, everyone's in a bit of a limbo.
Yeah, that's right. Good question from Aaron. Is it because in Australia we have a third party running BYD? Yeah.
Hard to tell.
Hard to tell. Yeah, it's not just an Australian issue. I think it is affecting, I think, other cars around the world too. But at the same time, it would be nice to have some transparency as to where the problem lies. We just don't know what the fault is at the moment. There's no official communication from BYD about where the fault lies. It's just a generic, yep, we're working on it. So, yeah, I think the more pressure we put on BYD, or at least the distributor here in Australia, hopefully we'll get some answers very soon.
I think that the longer that there is some sort of a communication from BYD, the more it creates an opportunity for speculation. You know, even this week, Tom, I'm sure you've seen it as well in other social media channels where, you know, in BYD circles, people are still saying that it's Tesla, which it could be, you just don't know. But then at the same time, some are saying it's hardware, some are saying it's software, and everybody's just a little bit confused. So a bit of direction would be good just to ease some concerns that owners that have spent, you know, tens of thousands of dollars to get these vehicles, and at the moment, some are concerned they won't be able to do the trips that others in other similar EVs, sometimes even cheaper EVs like the MG4, can do.
Mm. Yeah, look. Personally, it doesn't affect me too much because I don't use the superchargers a lot, but it still affects resale value. It differentiates your car as a first generation from the new ones, which can do it. So as a secondhand buyer, why would you buy my car when the newer ones can do it? It's just a choice thing. It's an option thing. So, you know, it's going to affect everyone's resale value up to this point. I know they're older cars anyway, but this is a huge stumbling block for a lot of people who want that option. And it's a great backup feature to have, having a supercharger available to charge at on a busy corridor like Sydney to Melbourne. You can have the Albury chargers to charge at. So I hope BYD are listening to us, and hopefully they are chasing BYD China to get a solution for us. And as Scott says, admitting, you know, fault generates liability. Yeah, I think at the moment it's probably just a liability issue. They're trying to limit this because, you know, if it's hardware, it's going to be expensive. Hopefully it's just software, but if it's hardware, yeah, it's going to be a big issue. So watch this space, everyone. We will just see what happens. Jonah X. Well, yeah, I mean, the European cars have got the better chargers that can do 11 kilowatt three-phase charging, which is synonymous with V3 charging as well. So for some reason in Australia and maybe New Zealand, we've been getting the ones that can only do single phase 7 kilowatt charging AC.
Particularly, yeah, for seals. I think the Atto 3s in Europe, we have examples as well. People hiring them through Sixt in Germany, and Sixt being a German company, they had a deal of 100,000 BYDs electric cars on the road in a couple of years' time. So they're hiring them in Germany and aren't able to charge at the V3 superchargers as well. Mm. So it's the seals seem to perform better. I mean, there are, I think that, like you said, Tom, they're getting a different hardware car. Not sure what the difference in specs is, firmware or hardware itself. But if that's a fix, and BYD is already putting it in cars like those that are being found after March 2024 builds, then potentially it's the case. But yeah, I think your car is on the latest firmware, on the latest software update, right?
Yeah, it's on the 2401. But I think there's a separate firmware commander, FWC, I think. Different. It's to do with the charging. So mine's different to the newer seals. I think there's a lot of talk in the background from the Facebook groups and social media groups about possible, class action. Hopefully it doesn't come to that, but if there's no word from BYD, unfortunately that might be the only path to get some answers. So we will keep everyone posted on the Ludicrous Feed live stream, so stay with us each week. Yeah, good point from Eddie. How can it be Tesla's fault if the Dolphin and the newer seals can charge? That's very true.
Yep. And that's sort of the response you'd expect from people like us and those on this stream and those that watch it afterwards and listen to us, because I guess we are sort of in the know-how and we can sort of connect the dots while we're not getting any other information. Because, yeah, the hardware works. It seems to work on their own products. So then we need to, you know, sort of get to the bottom of why the newer ones can, and if there is, what is the remedy for those? Not everyone would, you know, to be honest, not everyone would care. Their Attos and certain seals can't charge. They may think that, you know, hey, for myself, I do 95% of my charging at home. I don't really go out of the metro areas where there's other chargers, so it doesn't really impact me, which is fair enough, which would probably be majority of the owners. But there's those that want the flexibility to be able to go out because they purchased this vehicle to be go out as and charge at pretty much every other charger that other vehicles can. So for those, you know, there needs to be some sort of communication. So hopefully that comes soon.
Yeah, that's right, Riz. It's about getting the car that you paid for that is equivalent to all the other cars that can charge at the Tesla network. Why is it that BYD, this specific subset of vehicles, is not being included? That's what's frustrating. And as Scott says, the Tesla network is about availability, uptime, number of stalls, and convenience, particularly when open to all EVs.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. You may not use it, but having that as backup, as an option.
Peace of mind. Like, it's
peace of mind, absolutely. It reduces the charging anxiety 100%. So that's the confidence you need to drive long distance. And Paul, great question. Surely the non-Tesla charging network in Australia can't be that bad that you need to use Tesla chargers. Well, yes and no. It's getting better, Riz, as you know. But yeah, Tesla's still up there, isn't it?
The challenge with the non-Tesla charging network is that it's charger anxiety. You get there, and if it's one charger with one CCS and one CHAdeMO plug and the CCS is being used, then half the time you don't know how long has that person been there for. Are they just camping? What's going on? I know ChargeFox and others are trying to introduce certain things to letting you know how long someone's been there. But we don't, you know, and I know it's different type of analogy. We don't do that at petrol pumps today.
No.
We don't say that guy's been there for 3.5 minutes and all the rest of it. And we shouldn't be doing this, but it's just the fact that you're going to get 1 out of 3, 1 out of 6, 1 out of 9 or 12 chargers at a Tesla supercharger site that will be available. And that's the key difference. So yeah, I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done for non-Tesla chargers. But while the Tesla ones are available, and it seems like nearly every site they're opening now, it's open to non-Teslas after a couple of days of it being commissioned. So it's, you know, we're potentially talking about hundreds more chargers in the next 12 to 24 months.
Yep. And even if the supercharging team has been sacked, like as Tesla's email said, the projects that they're in a pipeline, they're being built and commissioned. So even if it stops at that point, there's still a lot coming up to that point. So this is where we want this issue resolved quickly. Peter Cook, yes, BYD Australia is EV direct. That's correct. They have no control, but potentially heaps of liability. Yeah, great point. Scotty says, unless Tesla doesn't conform to the CCS2 standard exactly. I mean, they're open source, aren't they, with their hardware? So
I'm pretty sure. I know there's been some confusion in the past, and maybe some owners of Hyundai Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6, Kia EV6, apparently they were having trouble back in the day, and Tesla did make some change, but I believe they could always charge. It just was at what speed. And that was the change that had occurred. And most, even Tritiums and other chargers, non-Tesla hardware, used to do that. So you'd connect a car for the first time. I remember in the very beginning when BYD Atto 3s, when Tom, you and I were reviewing some of these cars, you go to a Tritium charger, it doesn't recognize the BYD, or it doesn't recognize the car's there. And then you try it a couple of times, and then the software learns and the charger learns and all of that sort of stuff. And second and third time was a lot easier, and then now it's not a problem anymore. Yeah. So I think the chargers, you know, also need, although they may have the same sort of hardware, it's just they just need to recognize the vehicle. And at the moment, Tesla's chargers are not recognizing the vehicle because the vehicle is not communicating with the charger.
Yep. And you made a good point, Riz. Tritium, we know Tritium, like Bonza, is under administration, so they're in big trouble as well. So I don't know. I wouldn't count on Tritium reliability at this point in time either. All right, well, that is the issue currently. So we'll keep an eye on it, and we'll talk about other things in the meantime, which is, unfortunately, still BYD. No, we need to chat about the BYD Shark. So that is about to go live and launching very soon. What are we talking about here? So 15th of May, that would be our time tomorrow, I think.
It has launched.
Has launched, okay.
Apparently, it has launched in Mexico with a starting price of around 80,000 Australian dollars. This is a plug-in hybrid with about 100 kilometers of any DC range on pure electric mode and about 1,100 kilometers of combined range. So 1,000 Ks out of, the engine itself on a single tank of fuel. Towing capacity of 2.5 ton. I mentioned earlier, $80,000 Australian starting price in Mexico. For comparison, a seal, an all-wheel drive seal, is about $70,000 Australian equivalent.
So how much, sorry?
$70,000. So we're talking about, $10,000 above sort of the all-wheel drive seal variant. So what would that be? The mid-spec one that you have, Tom, that's an all-wheel drive?
No, it's a rear-wheel drive.
It's rear-wheel drive,
long range.
Right. So the all-wheel drive, which is, round about the same price here. So this is a little bit more expensive than that. And towing capacity of 2.5 ton.
Yeah, Riz, I don't know. I must admit, I'm finding it very difficult to be excited about this this car. For a start, it's a hybrid, right? It's not a pure electric vehicle. It's a little bit disingenuous of me to get excited about it, I think. We only promote, generally speaking, only EVs on this channel, on the live streams as well. So unless there's some huge breakthrough in technology where you can cut off the petrol engine at any given time and not use it at all, then I don't know. I'm not that keen to try it out. I mean, I've been offered many hybrids to try it. I've just drawn a line in the sand and say, no, we're talking about EVs here. Thoughts, Riz? Is this something you'll be covering for the Driven, do you think?
For the Driven, no. And that's sort of it's similar sort of line when it comes to electric vehicles and electrification, internal combustion electrification. Yes, it's a step in the right direction. But we've seen studies of what can happen and the way plug-in hybrids are generally driven. The consumption, although some of them claim to be quite low, under 4 or 5 liters per 100 kilometers of fuel being consumed. We know in reality it's a lot higher because people don't charge their batteries and those type of things. So I guess time will tell. Apparently, we were told in the past that a Ute was coming into our market, which this may very well be. We'll find out. But yeah, I sort of am on the same boat, Tom. A lot of people that we're seeing in the BYD groups around this car and around other plug-in hybrids are a little bit concerned, and it doesn't appeal to them. They basically want fully electric version of these, which we hope in the next 12 months this vehicle will be available as a fully electric only option, but as of now, we're not sure.
Yeah, we talked about the Geely Auto Group coming to Australia. We know they've got the Radaria coming, which is a full EV. So hopefully we'll see that in quick time. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think I'll be reviewing this for the channel at this stage.
A good friend of the show, Elliot, has recently done a video around Beijing Auto Show and for the fully charged or everything electric YouTube channel. And in that, he covers the JAC has a fully electric Ute. Now, that would be something quite interesting. JAC has launched in Australia quietly, and they'll be doing a lot more in the coming sort of 12 to 18 months. So I think we'll have a couple of fully electric options in the next 12 months or so. So hopefully that will push BYD to launch Shark Electric.
The electric shark. Yeah.
Electric.
Spicy. Aaron asks, what alternatives do we have in Australia currently for a BEV Ute, if any? Well, there's the old EV. What do you call it? T60 Max.
Yeah.
ET60 Max. And then this converted F-150 Lightning going for 250K as Australian. So not a lot to choose from, unfortunately, Aaron. Good point, though. Oscar is saying, I think Ford is bringing a hybrid Ranger, and that would be over 100K. $100,000 with 40 kilometers of EV driving.
I've seen ads of that particular car. Actually, just sticking to sort of commercial vehicles, here in Melbourne over the last couple of weeks, I've noticed a lot of electric truck ads fully electric eCanter by Fuso and Daimler. There's a lot more electric truck ads being run around, billboards, those crossing the Baltic Bridge. So anyone around the country, keep an eye out around our major cities and on those electronic billboards and see if you spot any fully electric truck ads. Last I heard, they weren't selling too many of them. We're not seeing, you know, full. I know there's a couple in Woolworths fleet and a whole lot of other things, a couple of Photons and other trucks that are fully electric doing last mile deliveries. But this year may be the year where we get a lot more on the market. So although Utes are still not fully electric yet, we have light trucks that are already here.
Yeah, that's right. If you see any of those ads, let us know. That'd be good. Scotty says, I'd like to see more BEV vans. This is impending my company buying one, even though they support me leasing an EV. Okay. And Jason says, it needs to be a BYD eel, electric eel and not electric shark. Nice true. One.
That's a I good
like
one.
It. I like it. Staying with BYD just briefly. So BYD Japan has released this X. So the BYD Auto Niigata to open on Saturday, May 11th. So that was last weekend. 27th store nationwide and the first in the Niigata prefecture to feature a showroom. There you go. So you do get EVs in Japan. And Chinese EVs at that.
They're coming quickly. That right there, Tom, I think is a 2024 model BYD Atto 3 in that black.
Mm-hmm. You're correct. I think I reckon. Is that different down here?
It looks... Yeah, we haven't had the 2024 yet. A lot of them are still pretty much every Atto 3 currently being sold as a 2023 model, hence you can get a good price on it. But that's what future owners of the Atto 3 have to look forward to.
Mm, that hopefully can charge a V3, V4 superchargers. No guitar strings though, right, Riz? That's gone?
I'm not sure actually on that one.
Mm.
We'll find out if anyone's out there in Japan or other countries or Singapore where they do have the 2024 model car. Check it out for us and let us know.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, let us know. Japan is certainly a very popular destination at the moment. Rachel's saying, I did like Elliot's description in that video of hybrids being an EV gateway drug. That's true. Thought that was an apt description for why we should be patient with semi-electric options. Okay, thank you, Rachel. A voice of reason. Ross is saying, yeah, Riz, I've heard on the radio an ad for the eCanter. Thank you. Cool. Awesome. All right, let's keep going. And thanks for your comments. I can see comments for the Commander Gen 2, which we are giving away tonight. So there it is. That is going to be given away if you guys leave a comment on the video. So thanks for your chats, but a comment would be better. We'll be judging the best comment on what feature you'd like to see in a Tesla that's been either taken away or just not put there altogether. We'll give one of these away with $200. Winners will be announced next week's show.
Now, for those of us that do drive the Teslas and we're not overly happy with when the wipers come on at certain times, particularly when you're on autopilot, it'd be good to be able to switch off or slow down the rate at which the wipers go off when you're on autopilot and it's just the sun glaring through the windscreen and there's no rain. So if we could do that with the Commander, then yeah, well, I mean, that's good value there.
Now, I did release my very long Model Y review, the 2024 Model Y, and I actually managed to capture the auto wipers coming on in the glare of the afternoon sun. So watch out for that test drive. Members will know what I'm talking about if you've watched that video already. That's dropping tomorrow night, everyone else, on Thursday night. Okay, let's whisk through the rest of the story. So we've got the BYD Seal version 1.2 software update coming soon, and this will include Apple CarPlay Wireless, which will be good. Ooh. Looking forward to that, and other little small updates as well. So apparently also the speed sign alerts are going to be quietened as well. So that'll be good because that's one thing I still switch off every now and then. Even though it's decreased in volume, it still bugs me every now and then. And now, we know Barry's gone electric, but Barry's also using BYD in the new Toyota BZ3. How about this, Riz? Everyone has watched my video of the BZ4X. They know I wasn't too impressed with it, even though it was better than I expected. But if this is now using the BYD Blade battery, this could be promising.
Well, BZ3, and this has been a product that went on sale last year and then didn't get success as such. Maybe it's been reintroduced in China. That's the path Toyota is going down. Also, I think in the last week or so, we've heard that Toyota may be going to BYD to lease their plug-in hybrid technology because they're struggling to sell many cars in China at the moment. So if that happens, then basically Toyota will be offering self-charging technology. Just, you know, BYD's plug-in hybrid technology rebadged as their own. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that car is probably never going to leave China.
Yeah, it's a shame because under 30,000 US would be what, 50,000 Aussie, which yeah. I think is a much better price than what the BZ4X is asking for, $71,000 drive away, which is just way too much in my opinion. But this looks more like a sedan rather than an SUV. Yeah, I mean, BYD blade battery, lithium ion phosphate, that's the kind of stuff we like. So yeah, we'll keep an eye on that one. And also, I'm getting the Subaru Solterra in a couple of weeks to review too, the twin of the BZ4X. We'll see if they can do a better job than Toyota. Yep, that's good. And we'll just take a few more comments first. Oh, hello, Sensei. Nice to see you. Welcome.
Hey.
Apparently, Adam says the new LDV Ute is coming 2025. That'd be good to see. BYD is doing an overhaul of their website this week. Only going to quote WLTP from now on. Yay, welcome to the 21st century, BYD. Stephen is asking me when I'm going to review the LDV E-Deliver 7.
Ooh.
The new one, right?
Yeah, so Tom, if you are, let me know. I'll connect you with the right person to make it happen.
Yeah, I did try to review a van. Remember that launch you went to? Yeah. I think someone wrote in the comment, this guy clearly doesn't drive commercial vehicles too often, which is fair. I don't.
There's that as well.
So I might have to bring along someone in the know.
It's a slightly small one. Maybe, hey, Anthony, if you're from, you know, MTA, if you're listening, maybe you can accompany Tom in that sort of a vehicle, because that'd be good fun to see.
I could probably bring a few viewers, right? Stick a few in the back.
that's what I'm saying. It's it is smaller than that LDV E-Deliver 9. It's more like a slightly smaller than a Toyota Hiace. So, you know, I guess we'll have to see.
Oh, comment for you, Riz. Never use the term self-charging again, please. What are you doing, Riz?
You know, Bonds has been using self-flying. It didn't work. So, yeah, stop using self-charging.
Self-flying? That's what they went wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, Chris Hunt says, Seal OTA update promises to optimize the accuracy of the state of charge. I wonder if it follows that the range prediction improves. Okay, we'll see what happens with the update.
I guess a question, Tom. With your Seal, is there any trip planning now in built, or is it still on its way?
I don't know. There's definitely no trip planning. You can look for charges, but you can't natively go, okay, I want to go to Melbourne today. This is where you stop. I'm trying to work on a solution with ABRP, a better route planner, and with an OBD device. So still working on that. I think that'll be a nice third-party option. Yep. Okay, so we talked about this a bit earlier in the stream. So this is from the Financial Times. US to impose 100% tariffs on Chinese electric vehicle imports. That's really no surprise. They were talking about that for a while. Blaming the Chinese government for basically subsidizing cheap electric vehicles from China. And this is obviously to protect the US auto industry.
This is extremely concerning, not from the point of view that, you know, fine, you're trying to protect US jobs, and that's all good. There's nothing, every country will do the same thing. The concerning part is it stops innovation. If there's no competition, the reason why we're getting so many innovative cars out of electric cars, compelling electric vehicles out of China now, is because there is fierce competition. And if they stop competition from entering, which is what the US is doing and Europe will do very soon too, only they will lose out of it at the end. Because ultimately, they tried that with the Japanese car makers as well in the 70s and 80s. What did the Japanese car makers do? They went over there and set up factories. That's what Chinese car makers will do as well. The BYD is building factories in Hungary, in Thailand, in a whole lot of other... They're already sourcing a site out in Mexico, which is probably strategically why they launched the Shark there. So things are moving very quickly. And funnily enough, BYD builds buses in the US already. So it's just a matter of time what they're doing with slowing things down. But in the meantime, in the 2 or 3 years that this will sort of stop all manufacturers from entering the US, they will be finding ways to get the cars to Southeast Asia, to Australia, to Africa, to many other parts, South America. That's where all of those cars in the Middle East, that's where they're ending up.
Yeah, and Scott says, you know, Mexico, and then Mexico to the US. I mean, you know, as you said, Riz, if they're creating plants in the US and, you know, creating US jobs and putting food on the table for US families, I mean, what's wrong with that, right? I mean, you're supporting US that way. So I think the US public will see that jobs are being created eventually. So yeah, I think we'll see what happens. Stephen says, is that why BYD are going to build factories in Mexico so they don't pay the tariffs? I mean, that's certainly one way around it. Yep.
Correct. Well, to be honest, that's where a lot of the, like, you know, Tesla's cars are probably the most US made cars because of the components and things in them. A lot of the popular Fords and GM vehicles that Americans buy are actually made in Mexico. So, and same with Australia, we used to get a lot of the Volkswagen product used to come from Mexico. The Amarok was originally bought in the 2010s from Mexico, the Passat, the Jetta was built there. So we've been getting cars from Mexico as well for a while. So it's going to be, you know, a big hub. And I don't think US can stop that. I don't know what happens if, you know, let's say Biden doesn't win the upcoming election. I'm not sure what happens then. Probably the same thing, but we'll see.
Yeah. And I think the Ford Mustang Mach-E that I was reviewing, thanks to Anthony, who's watching tonight. Yeah, that car's made in Mexico as well. It's got a CATL LFP battery in the select variant, the entry level variant. So, yeah, we shall watch this space. Now, more vehicles or more automakers are slashing their prices in Australia. It's the Leaf 39 kilowatt hour is now $39,990 drive away in Australia.
That's right. No more to pay unless you want to charge at a station which has only got CCS. Two plugs, because that's got a CHAdeMO plug. So
yeah, too bad. Yeah, that's right. So $39,990 for a Leaf that can't charge CCS2, but at least it's got liquid cooling, I think. The new ones do. So thanks, Lewis. There were VW plants in Brazil and Mexico. Thank you. And all Latin American VWs come from those. That's right.
Hey.
Yep. Ray says, can imagine the car with no wheels are shipped to the US with US wheels added to the claim built in US. Yep. Yeah. How many percent of this vehicle was built in the US? Consumers, do they really want to know? Do they really care? Probably not.
Well, we don't know. We buy a lot of things that say designed in California.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. Designed in California like that. The Tesla's designed in the US.
Yeah, that's
made in Gigafactory Shanghai. Oh, Charles. Touche. Thought they had a 40 kilowatt hour battery, or are they coming pre-degraded now? Ooh.
Ouch. It's youth. I think they're advertising. I don't know what's happened at Nissan, but they're advertising the usable battery capacity.
Yeah, good. Good, good. I think that's probably the way to go. Yeah. Usable as opposed to the nominal. Mark says, does the Askrisk say, assuming you can find a CHAdeMO charger? Yep. I would say so.
Well, you do get roadside assist.
Oh, right, okay. Nice comment from Moss Screamer for a Seagull. Just adding the wheels is a huge percentage.
That's right.
I love it. Nice one. Okay, if you want to save some money on a new car, this is where you go, Riz. The Lotus Elytra. Thanks, Roland from Zapped. Down, prices are down. The Lotus Elytra price cuts by $49,000. That surely is the record at the moment for price cuts.
Hey, that saving gets you a new Leaf and 10 grand in the bank account.
Yes.
So it's...
Or a Peugeot.
Yeah, Peugeot. Tom, you saw in that very green, you saw that car at Everything Electric. I think they did have one of these.
They sure did. Yep. As soon as you walked in the door, you could see it on the left. I don't think... Was it officially from Lotus? I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, I don't know who it was from. It was in that, I think, green color there.
Yeah, it looked pretty sweet. Yeah. I just need another $189,000. I think I've got $990. So, yeah, I'll just keep saving. Keep those super chats coming, everyone, if you want me to buy an Elytra. I need to do a few more live streams. Yeah, I have reached out to Lotus Australia to ask for a test drive, but funnily enough, no reply call or no return call as yet, so I'll keep trying. Something that might be a bit more affordable for me and you is might be this one here. This is the Volvo EX30, which you kindly sent me your photographs from the South Australian launch this week.
So it is quite a good car. All in all, it is a slightly squished, but at the same time, it's quite nice in terms of its fit and finish. A lot of recycled materials on the inside, single screen like Tesla, or imagine Polestar without any sort of screen behind your steering wheel. Overall drives well. Steering is not as connected as you would find in some more engaging driving cars like your Model 3s or, you know, even Polestar 2 that I think you and I drove, Tom, last year in Canberra. That was up going up and down the mountains. You sort of felt it. And this is good value car, though.
Mm. Starting at 59, I think, wasn't it?
59, yeah, 59,990 yeah. Plus on-roads.
Yeah. And this is about the same size as like an MG4, from memory?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for these pics. These are great. Is that an old Volvo in the back, maybe?
Oh, don't know. Apparently that's Jacob's Dairy from at Jacob's Creek, circa 1840.
Right. Okay. So Jacob's Creek, that winery.
That's where you were. Yeah, it's near there.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, it's not a bad looking vehicle. It's certainly in the Volvo, you know, philosophy and design philosophy. Looks pretty cool. And I think there were some comments that the frunk was a bit small.
Yeah, definitely. Even if you talk to Volvo or, you know, I visited a dealer earlier this week, actually, and they said basically you can put a cable in there. I do like what they're doing with that little, the cover. They've got a little car, they've got a moose. And
yeah, that's cute. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, CCS2, of course, looks very much like a Volvo XC40 or C40 that I've seen, or a Polestar. Yeah, no, I think this would be a nice little city car. Maybe, what was the range again? 300?
Over 400 for the base model. Yeah.
Okay, it's pretty good. Yeah. Yeah, I think this might do well. It's not bad, not a bad price for a Volvo. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind test driving one of these, so we shall see. So stay tuned.
Definitely well-built, and I think all variants have the 69 kilowatt-hour battery pack.
69, okay. That's pretty good. Pretty good. And thank you, Jason. $2, so I'll add that to the ledger for the Lotus Elytra, no problem. If I get any more, I'll aim for the Rolls-Royce Spectre
as well.
I'll buy Riz's secondhand. Yeah, nice. Peter asks, do the Volvos still have a transmission tunnel wrecking leg room for the center seat?
Not that I recall in this one. It's not as it's not as cramped as even, let's say, Polestar because of the transmission tunnel, but I guess everyone really has to test drive the car themselves. The good news is pretty much a lot of the Volvo dealers have them in stock already, so it's not like it will be weeks or months before anyone. So I think anyone that's interested can go to the Volvo dealer and go and sit in one and just to see.
Yeah, cool. Paul apparently has one already. Loving my EX30 Twin Ultra. Great car. Congratulations. Yeah, cool. Right. And let's move on. Almost at the end here, everyone. Yes, so we talked about this too. China's XPeng officially announced they'll be landing their first electric vehicles in Australia this year.
Yep, that's the G6. Looks a little bit like a sleeker version of the Jaguar I-Pace from the back, and got its quite unique styling at the front. Only unveiled just over 12 months ago for the first time at the Shanghai Auto Show last year. That's what's making its way in the right-hand drive market before the end of this year. One thing worth noting, there is a distributor, True EV. And, you know, who knows what happens, but I guess we will hear more about them and how they will be distributing this vehicle across many parts of Australia before the end of this year.
Yeah, no, it's good. Good to see more Chinese EVs in the country. This is going to be another Model Y killer, I'm sure. Certainly looks like in the same shape, sportback SUV. I'm excited that it's got an 800-volt EV architecture, so it should charge pretty quickly. It's saying 300 kilometers added in 10 minutes. It's pretty cool. 218 kilowatts of power in the single motor, and then 368 kilowatts for the dual motor high performance. So should be good. Yeah, looking forward to testing this one. And for those interested, XPeng has got an official Australian website now, xpeng.com.au. Again, this is not an ad. We're just letting you know. Coming to Australia in 2024. So good times coming up. Thank you, Gaffer. Add that to the ledger as well, $2. Yeah. He says, go for the Spectre. Hey, why not? That's not be thrifty. Thank you. And one more Chinese brand coming to Australia as well, Riz. Leap Motor.
Leap Motor, yep. Leap Motor is a startup of some sort. They've sold lots of cars. And yeah, as it appears, they've done a Stellantis, which owns, I don't know, Fiat, Maserati, and many, many other brands. I think Jeep as well, Chrysler. They purchased 21% of Leap Motors last year to form a new entity called Leap Motor International. And basically, Stellantis will help Leap Motor launch in multiple, markets outside of China, starting with Europe in September. And before the end of this year, we are likely to see one of their vehicles. I'm not sure which one it's going to be, but the two that they've unveiled, one of them will be entering the market. This is the T03, I think they call it. Elliot, who is obviously a regular on the show, has reviewed it. Go check it out on the Fully Charged show. He reviewed it about 18 months ago now. Cool little city car. Perfect for Europe. Not sure if it will make it here. And then they've got another vehicle as well that will be joining the market, in the form of the C10, which is more of an SUV.
Mm. Now, Riz, I know you want this car. You love your little cars.
I love it.
This is what you want.
That's it. If they can land it down here, even if it's around 20 grand, that's still a good value vehicle. Having said that, you don't get much change out of 20 grand if you buy a Kia Picanto ICE car these days. So this could be a price parity sort of vehicle.
Yeah, I mean, certainly for a city car, 265 is plenty, to get you to the shops and back and whatnot. So, yeah, if you charge every day, if you have off-street parking, then, yeah, that'd be great. 36.5 kilowatt-hour battery, just a bit smaller than the Nissan Leaf that we showed you earlier. Nice little zippy little thing around for the inner city areas of Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing this one, if it does come, or any other Leap Motor vehicles. So keep an eye on this one. Thank you, Grandpa, gifting us 5 Ludicrous Feed memberships. Much appreciated. Thank you. Interesting comments, Riz, in the chat about XPeng's distributor True EV. So Sensei saying, wow, the XPeng G6 looks good. I agree. Let's hope True EV don't mess this up. Okay, we'll keep an eye on them. Rachel says, love the look of the Volvo EX30. Love those pastel color options. Wish I had the option when I bought my Dolphin. Yep. And Ray, this is 100% yes. Do you think the Chinese makers are using AU and probably NZ as a testbed for marketing of EVs? 100% they are.
They are. BYD did that with the Australian market. It's so interesting. Most people still don't recognize that BYD used us in a good way. I don't mean in a bad way, but I think they used it as a good Western market to launch in before heading to Europe and other markets. And over 20,000 BYDs on the road now. And, I guess if that's anything to go by, a lot more Chinese brands will be aiming to sort of reach that same level of penetration in the Australian market.
Yeah, I don't mind being used, BYD or anyone else. I just don't like being abused. So, look after us as well. Treat us gently. Yeah, we're very tender, all of us. But yes, we are a good test Western market because there's no auto industry here to protect. So there you go. It just makes sense. Sam says, we'll be interesting to see how True EV go selling and supporting the XPeng. Yep, 100%. I agree. Cool. Yes. And yes, Christopher says, Australia is often used to test the wider market. Yep. Very true. Chinese paint job not very generous, Adita says. I don't know. My seal's pretty good. I've got to say, it's pretty thick, pretty lush.
That Volvo, obviously, it's made in China as well, and that was opening the bonnet or any other part, you could not tell that there were any areas that just to say misted with the brush.
Yeah. In fact, you look at the boot of the Model 3, even the new ones, the new performance ones, you can still see where the airbrush is missed. So, yeah, I mean, happens. Super Mario says, looking forward to Zeekr X. Yes, of course, you mustn't forget about Zeekr. They're coming as well. Okay, almost at the end, everyone. Let's keep going for now. 213 viewers, hour and 16 minutes in. Fantastic. Thanks, everyone. Charge Fox announcing that Toyota Australia have launched a new public AC and DC EV chargers at two locations in Melbourne, Altona and Port Melbourne. Nice to see.
They are new chargers as well. They are the Schneider DC chargers, and there's not many of them around.
Glad they're not using tritium. It's good. Now, we talked about this last week, Riz, about ChargeFox changing their app such that you can see how long someone has been parked there and charging if you feel like they've been camping too long. So we're going to, not a competition, but we're going to see what the record is moving forward. So if you see on your app someone's been parked there too long, let us know. Tag me and Riz on X or whatever. But at the moment, the record stands at 7 hours and 40 minutes. Okay. So this is the current longest I've seen so far. 7 hours and 40 minutes. If you can find one longer, tag us, we'll post it, and we'll show it next week.
That's a long shop at Woolworths, especially in the basement as well.
Yeah, a lot of half-price specials. Yeah, that's 7 hours. A few trolleys there. All right, let's keep going. Almost there. And one from Nirav, tip off from an EV industry contact that e-luminas are being or going to be used at the Mittagong RSL and RMA charging location in place of the free wire stuff that's been pulled out.
Yep, I had the chance to talk to the CEO of Illumina, and there is at least six other NRMA sites that these chargers will be going in on top of Mittagong.
Cool. And these apparently are being built in Australia, I think? Queensland factory?
The factory isn't ready yet, for as far as I know. It's supposed to be in Yatala in Queensland. I believe they will be assembled here.
Oh, right.
Because we don't really, as far as I know, we don't make large-scale batteries here. But having said that, any sort of assembly or manufacturing, we do that with buses. We get some parts from China, we get some parts from Europe, we put it all together. That's what bus builders do in Australia. So similar sort of concept, but that'll be in Yatala, Queensland, the factory in between Brisbane and Gold Coast.
I see. So it's a dolphin with a wheel situation where this will be brought in almost assembled. Then we just put it together and go, yep, made in Australia.
That's it.
Okay. I understand now. That makes sense. Okay, so if you read the website, Illumina website, it makes it so clear that it's made in Australia or manufactured here. So that
it possibly, look, like I said, as far as I know, it possibly is very much assembled cell by cell. But, you know, it's we'll have to find out when they have their grand opening and we can go and have a look at it. They're supposed to have a media opening to have a look at how things are done. And that would be a good time to sort of see how they manufacture these chargers here.
Okay. Peter's saying, apparently tritium are rubbish on grid, but quite good off grid.
Oh.
Okay, I think our grid has too much variability from mixed intermittent supply cutting in and out. All right, thanks. Hal's saying, do your own research with True EV. Not sure they are in this for the long haul. Very interesting management makeup. Yeah, I think you can see who True EV are on their website. So if you want to do your own research, that's where you can go to check them out. All right, moving right along and almost at the end, we're seeing new street pole chargers in Port Macquarie being trialed. Really? This is EVX. We've seen their work in Sydney as well. Great to see. There they are there installing it. The local news there, checking it out. This is the kind of stuff we need, Riz. You know, Rahul used to join us regularly. He parked off street, so this is the kind of stuff he would have liked, having a street pole charger outside his home. So, yeah, great to see Essential Energy putting these in Port Macquarie. And this is what they look like.
It's good. Sorry, Tom, just the last page you had, the first comment on that post.
Yeah. Save yourself some heartache. Don't read the comments of these things.
That's all I'm saying. It's not worth reading. Turn comments off.
No, it's just gonna hurt yourself. So yeah, just focus on the positives. Yes. So that's what they look like. The EVX poles with the Type 2 port there. We talked about the fire at Alpatronic last week as well. So they released a statement, I think. Fire is under control, causing no harm to operations as well. So hopefully unrelated to the equipment. And one last story. Thank you, Jason, for tagging me in this. So two-way grid pricing for grid exports. We knew this was going to come. There's just a lot of solar energy at the moment in Australia. So apparently coming very soon, July 2024, there will be Ausgrid, which is a big distributor here in New South Wales. They'll be limiting how much you can export to the grid. So 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., it's going to be a 1.2 cents per kilowatt hour charge instead of a tariff. And then if you export after hours from your battery, I guess, then it's a 2.3 cent per kilowatt hour reward. Interesting.
So what happens with 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. then? Like, does that mean you should be using all your solar at that time, filling up a battery or doing something with it?
Yeah, I guess so, right? I mean, those people who've installed, like, what, 10 plus kilowatt hour systems on their roof, like, they're going to be in trouble. I mean, you either buy an EV or a battery or do something with it. Otherwise, you just, or switch it off or island it away or... Yeah, it's going to be interesting, isn't it? And there's a little quota down here. So if you in the 31-day month, one of the months with 31 days, your limit is 212 kilowatt hours, less for different months, different days of the month. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see how this works.
Well, if anyone's in the Ausgrid area that doesn't want to pay that fee and has solar panels, I've got a cluster of cryptocurrency mining computers I can send out there, which can easily absorb all that solar while making everyone rich. So we can make that happen.
Riz really needs to get Bonzer out of trouble. So support Riz with his crypto mining.
Anything that's solar needed to make sure that, you know, we don't want more companies ending up there.
We're here for you, Riz. We're definitely here for you.
Thanks, Tom and everyone.
Got to keep you in Hollywood. All right, let's take a few more comments and then we'll say goodbye. Jerry Cairns, is it true that BYD Sea Lion 6 launching tomorrow? I think I did read that, actually.
Yeah, it is.
There you go. Okay, so what have we got here? Peter says, the grid doesn't really need power over lunchtime. Why would they pay you for what they can't use? This is true. There's a lot of surplus when the weather's good.
Well, this is where we need workplace charging, right? Like, every one of us should be able to advocate with our workplaces during the middle of the day. You know, there's a lot of excess solar. Let's charge our cars then. Give us the points. Give us those, you know, charge points where we can plug in at that time of the day. It's the perfect time to do it.
Yep, 100%. Well, Riz, thank you so much again for joining us on Wednesday. It's been a long episode, but as I said, I warned you guys, a lot to cover in this space. So I just want to thank yourself for joining us, and also thank you everyone else for tagging me and Riz on social media. Without you guys, there is no show. There are no stories. So tell us what's important. We'll put it up on the stream every week.
Yeah. And that's it, guys. Like, you know, there's a lot that's happening. You guys are our eyes and ears. When you're out there, have a look, share all the good stories with us, and as well as things that you think, you know, we need to discuss. And yeah, a lot, we've covered a lot today, and there's, I'm sure, a lot more in the coming weeks. So yeah, look forward to it.
Yeah, so much happening, isn't there? Lots of cars in the pipeline for me to review, and also coming to Australia, Chinese cars, XPeng, Zeekr, Leap Motor. It's so good. Good times coming up. And don't forget to leave a comment if you want to win one of these sexy commanders from Enhance Auto. Leave a comment. We've been through that a few times tonight, so we'll look through them and judge the best comment for next week. We'll announce it then. Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Riz. We'll see you next week on the show. Until then, as always, happy charging. Take care.